Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy-Denader, and I am a coach, a singer-songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Christine Howard as my guest this week. Join us for a conversation about her book, Radiant Achievement, and how to shift limitations and obstacles to live a life of joy, peace, and fulfillment. Welcome, Christine.
Hello. I am so grateful to be here, Margot.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back on. I loved having you on the first time I did. I think that was like back in 2019, maybe, with one of Marsh's books. Oh, yeah, Marsh has brought so many wonderful people into my world, and I'm so thankful for her and all the inspiration that she gives everybody and the encouragement that she gives people. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited to talk to you about this beautiful new book that just came out.
And yes, I'm excited to talk about it, too.
Yeah, I love the title, Radiant and Achievement Together. And then I also love the subtitle, Turn on Your Life, Your Essence, and Your Soul-Centered Calling, which you're saying, live your music right there. I love it.
I am. I love that alignment between the two of us.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that the way I see it is our music is not always one thing. That's first of all. And it comes from our heart, come from just our head. It has to come from our heart. And we have to be able to listen to our heart in order to know what that music is and to know what resonates with us. And I'm all for any book, which yours seems to be one of, I've only read part of it, but I love it so far, that remind us to listen to our heart and not to just our head and to other people's shoulds and what they think we could do. So, yeah, I'm excited to hear about this book. So what inspired you to write the book?
Yeah, so my stories are always a little bit of a journey in my answer, and certainly the inspiration for writing the book is multifaceted. First and foremost, I knew, I love that you said about being in your heart. I just knew at some point I would write a book in my life. I had no idea when, what it was going to be about. I just, you know, as an adult at some point, I just had this kind of come to me. And so I was always open. And then in 2015, my life started falling apart I wouldn't say falling apart. I had some wake-up calls. I'll frame it that way, which I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. And as a result of my healing journey from a breast cancer diagnosis and then a divorce of a long-time marriage, I started, I looked like, how did I get here? And I started living my life differently. And you talked about being in your head. I got out of my head and back into my body. I started listening to my heart, to my intuition, to being guided to the deeper essence of who I am and what my life was about, what I desired to accomplish. And then I started living that way. And as I lived that way, it inspired me in my coaching practice to start teaching this new approach to life as well as achievement, to start teaching this to clients and other women. And then eventually that next layer of the journey or the next level of the journey was one day I was looking at my business and continuing to expand the brand of what I called Radiant Achievement. And then it just hit me, now is the time. Now is the time to write the book. I wasn't strategically thinking about it. I had heard other people and, you know, there was definitely some energy kind of in the periphery of my life. And then it hit me hard that now is the time to write the book. So that was kind of the journey of how I got here. And then really the book is sharing the message of my journey, my awareness, some great practices, some tools and education to help women connect to their own inner powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting when you said that about you knew that you were meant to write a book at some point, and I felt that way too. You know, I've always loved books. Books have always been one of my favorite things, and so the idea of writing one someday always appealed to me and just was like, ooh, I want to do that someday. But it was so scary, the idea of doing it. And I didn't really think that I could. And so, you know, but when the timing's right, that's when the right people, the right teachers show up. And my writing coach showed up because of looking at believe this or not, my brother and I were waiting at Book Passage near here to see Wayne Dyer talk. We found out the day before that from our bookkeeper that he was going to be at Book Passage right before 9/11, on the Friday before 9/11. And I saw a newsletter there with my writing coach, well, what ended up being my writing coach, Leslie Keenan, in there having two classes she was offering there at the bookstore called Is There a Book in You? And You Can Complete That Book. And the people were saying that she created a safe place for writers, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds really good, but it still took me like about 2 months to sign up for the class. Anyway, but yeah,
right.
I mean, she really did.
It.
She created a safe place, and I think that's one of the things that Marsh does for a lot of the people too, is creates a safe place
totally.
For people to become who they
absolutely
feel like they're supposed to become, but they're going, oh my gosh, this sounds a little too hard or too big or too amazing.
Right, right, right. Well, it's interesting because I had written my first draft of the book and I put it aside because I didn't feel, even though the draft was complete, I really felt the book wasn't complete, right? And I energetically just kind of hit a wall, and so I put it down. And then mm-hmm. I was working with Marsh and became part of one of her projects, which is how I was on your show. And I wrote a chapter, and then just that process of writing the chapter, seeing it come to life into a printed book, helped me have the confidence and the energy to pick my book back up and start, you know, taking those next steps to really fully develop it to the extent that I knew I wanted it to be for delivery to the public. So it's interesting how those little things come in your life to help you move along.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the thing is that there, you hear that saying all the time, that everything happens in divine timing, and what does that leave out? Nothing. It leaves out nothing. But
right.
You know, divine timing, it's so funny. The older I get, the more, and I look back on my life, things happen when they're meant to happen. They don't happen before they're meant to happen. And we can, you know, stomp our feet and try and force things to happen, or we can let it happen in divine timing, you know, and go with what feels right at the time. And if it doesn't feel right to finish something yet, there's a reason. And
exactly. I did a lot of stomping in my lifetime. a lot of stomping and pushing and forcing, and some of those stories are in the book. All that gave me was, you know, this is one of my favorite quotes, is pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. And I see how I put myself in a place of suffering so much because I was trying to force and control an outcome whose time it wasn't yet. So big lesson learned there for me, for sure.
It's so true. I mean, my brother and I talk about this a lot about, you know, especially when we're going, oh, when's this going to happen? But then we're going, divine timing. And we're going, think about all the things and people and events and situations that have to be in alignment for especially big things to happen. But, you know, for anything to happen, really, I mean, it's not just us. It's not just us going, oh, okay, this is a good time for it on my calendar. So.
Right, 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 exactly. And energetically, we don't realize how much that really, well, two things. And I'd love to see if you've noticed this for yourself. Number one, I see how I had wasted so much time and energy, and I would have, it would have flowed to me a lot easier, right? And I would have had the energy to be doing the things that were opportunities in front of me at the moment that I wasn't even able to see because I was so fixated on a certain outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. I not as much as you because, you know, like I think we were talking about before.
Oh, yes.
This is, yeah, well, for me, creativity has always been huge in my life, and it's always been something that really, really matters to me. So for me, the whole idea of the strategic planning and all of that is just so totally foreign to me, and I've always done things more intuitively anyway. So, for me, it's really interesting for me to see what it's like for people who have been in that background, especially, I guess you used to work in corporate America, right, or a corporate job?
Yes,
or,
I did. Yep. Yeah. Yep, for 17 years.
And see, there's a lot of people out there, though, that are creative that don't even really know they are because they've been so programmed to go along with what corporations want you to or businesses want you to, or actually even men, too, you know.
Right, right. Definitely. Well, we it is that whole conditioning thing, and I know from the corporate life, a big part of what we did is our projects. I worked in information technology, and I worked on our manufacturing systems, and so our end user in the manufacturing facility wanted enhancements or new systems, and so the first thing their requirements, you put a project plan together, and it was it was really all about the project plan and then time management classes and project management, and you know, all these things really for me at you know, in my early 20s, I think helped solidify that you could do anything with a project plan. So that became my go-to.
Well, you know, I think probably the most effective thing would be to be able to do both, you know, to balance it between the two extremes.
Yeah.
You know, because when I've worked on huge graphics projects with my husband's and my graphic design and photography business, which has been, I've been working with him since 1985. He started this business in 1980 that he has, and it's just, it's so much fun working on, for me, I like working on the big projects, the really big ones, and one of them was the Kentfield Schools directory for while our son was in from, like, kindergarten. It was just after kindergarten until he was in high school. I used to put together this directory where there were over 325 advertisers and all their ads coming in, and then the family listings and all other things, and working with these other women on it as a team on it, and then having my husband did some of the ads, and my brother was working at the time. And you know, but you're right. I mean, it's like when you have a huge project like that, you do have to plan. You can't maybe plan down to the end of when exactly it's all going to happen, but you do have to have a plan, and you do have to stay organized or else you can't do it.
Right. Absolutely.
And especially can't enjoy doing it.
The enjoyment part is big, right? Because you can drive yourself crazy with the over planning. And that's what I love about Radiant Achievement, and it's what you experience and how you operate. Just naturally, it can be that blend. And and while I say that it can be, unfortunately, you know, so many of us have learned to discount our intuition, that discount their creativity, to not get support, to not be open for inspired ideas to come to us, and we start living in our head, disconnected from really the fullness of who we are and our potential. So Radiant Achievement helps women get back to being able to create that natural blend, that natural balance in their life.
I love that. I really love that. And I'm so happy, too, though, to find out that more people are going to be able to get that. You know, I'm sure it's going to resonate with a lot of women who have been living too much in their heads and want to live more balance of their head and their heart, not just their head and not just their heart, but to do both. So
right.
What does it mean to turn on your life, your essence, and your soul-centered calling? How would you describe that?
That's a great question. I think at the core, Margot, what I would say is it means that you are saying yes to you, to the capital Y-O-U. And so your essence, let's, right? And how often do we not, I'll pause there because I tend to love, you know, just diving into everything. So I'm glad you made your little comment there, is how often do we really, you know, pause to connect with the fullness of who we are? I mean, that might sound completely foreign, but I'll break it down a little bit, but it truly is saying, you know, yes to the highest expression of yourself. And so those three elements, first, your essence, right? And that is you, like who you uniquely are. It's your gifts, it's your talent, it's your innate passions and desires. It's that, you know, I call it like that, it's that light bulb, right? That when you connect with it, it just, you start to glow. That's the essence piece of it. We all
I
have
love
it.
That.
And it's all,
yeah.
You, right? And everybody's different. So when we, I know for myself, when I started to truly love and appreciate and listen to and feel into and hear what, you know, all those aspects of who I was, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, this feels good. It felt like, it's like you feel home every day when you're connected to your essence. So it's kind of being in that discovery and then listening to what comes up for you and honoring and pursuing, which then leads to the soul calling. So you mentioned it's your heart. I feel our heart gets messages from our soul, and it links to, you know, our purpose, but not necessarily, because I had calling to move across the country. I had calling for a certain kind of family tradition. So callings come in every shape and size. They're not just that big, what's my purpose, right? But,
you know, but I just have to say to insert in here, though, about purpose, you know, because so many people go, well, I want to find my purpose, like it's going to be a job or, a, you know, the end-all, be-all of everything. And really, somebody described it recently, and I don't remember who, but I thought this was perfect. Your purpose is to be you.
and I love that.
Yeah, your purpose is to be you. So what you need to do is you need to get really good at being you instead of being all the people that other people want you to be. Yeah.
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree with that. That is a beautiful way and very right. Most often, the simplest way to describe it is the most accurate. So being you, which again, I think that authenticity, and every one of us are going to have different things that come to us, right? So listening to what is calling to you. And often people can go back to when they were children. Like I always loved to dance. And I was very creative when I was younger. My grandpa taught me how to paint, and I was always making up plays and gathering the kids in the neighborhood. And so, you know, a lot of our early buds of experiences we desire to have as adults come from things that we did when we were children. So reconnecting and listening to that. Yes. And not just hearing it, but actually doing something about it, saying yes to that, really being, you know, open and curious on how might I be able to express this interest. Doesn't mean you have to quit your job and become a full-time painter. Maybe you go take the 2-hour wine and paint class and that makes you happy, you know?
Right.
So that's one piece of it. And then the last piece, when I really and talk about turning on your life, you know, what that means is you're living aligned with your values, with your, like your life vision to the degree you've defined it. Again, you're living in alignment with your gifts and your talents. You are in a place of joy and gratitude. And I love to say you wake up every morning. Like here's how you know you're turned on about your life. You wake up and you are grateful that you have another day to live. You are grateful for the people in your life, for the things you're pursuing, and even for the challenges that you're facing, because you know you know, I'm going to grow through these. I'm going to learn something new, and maybe I'm going to let go of something that no longer. So it's a truly empowered, grateful, joyful perspective.
I totally get it. I totally get it, and I absolutely love that. And you're so right. You're so right about that. And I have to say that I haven't read very much of your book yet, but the part that I have read in the beginning parts, I love how you include your stories and the things that helped you make the shifts and how you learned it. And, you know, that really helps me feel like I know you and like you really, I understand how you got from where you were to where you are now, instead of it just seeming like, oh, well, how did she get from there to there? You know, so.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I think that's important, you know, for all of us that are, you know, feeling in whatever way, called to serve, and any person can influence another person's life at any moment. And
mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, people feel if they're not talking about stuff that's going on, they feel it's only happening to them. So when, you know, we can bring our stories to light and say, hey, you know, this is what I went through and this is the perspective or mindset I chose to take, you know, when I was
mm-hmm.
going through that, it can help somebody shift in a very, you know, fast way to say, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm not alone. There's people
mm-hmm.
that have been through this, and I have ways to, you know, walk through this more easily, and there's support. So people don't realize the power
and ways to look at it in new ways. And I don't remember where I saw it in the parts of your book that I was looking through, but I loved what you were talking about the I wonder questions or wonder questions. I wonder.
Yes.
And Sonia Choquette, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's an author I really like. She talks about your intuition.
The name is familiar.
Yeah, anyway, but she says, when you say, I wonder brings your intuition into it. So I loved that I saw that about that you were talking about wonder questions, because every time I have said to myself, I wonder, and then whatever it is, it does seem to bring my intuition into it. And so you want to talk about that a little bit, the wonder question?
Absolutely. I would love to. I would love to. And that was pivotal for me, because I was someone who did live a lot in the left hemisphere of my brain, which is that logical
mm-hmm.
side, right? Just the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so the I wonder did help me to, you know, release the pressure valve to get into openness and curiosity and reconnect with my intuition. And I think one of the examples, I started with a blank, you know, piece of paper when I was working
mm-hmm.
on a product I was creating. And I just started asking, you know, I wonder what this website, you know, or wonder what I could do to bring this website to life. And then it was almost like free writing. I just, whatever thought popped in my head, I wrote it down, and I just would continue. If nothing was coming, then I would ask it again, and I would just sit with in a place of just relaxed state, just really feeling, you know, grounded. There were no expectations. And since then, like, it's one of my favorite practices when I'm starting something new or, you know, moving to the next phase, and it's a blank slate. So I truly believe it helped me connect with that inner wisdom that I have and that we all have.
Yeah. And the other thing that Sonia had said that was so powerful about intuition is that intuition is always moment to moment. It's not about later today, next week, next year, or whatever. That's not your intuition. Your intuition is in the moment. It's in the present moment. So it's moment to moment. And by being present in that moment and saying, I wonder, and like you said, letting it happen, letting it come out, that's when your intuition really goes, ooh, she's going to listen to me.
Yes, I actually talk about that in the book, that it is truly intuition. And I also believe guidance. Like, I believe the universe is giving us clues, little
mm-hmm.
inspirations, all throughout our day. It could be from a billboard. We might overhear
right.
a conversation. We could get it in a podcast. And those are the funny synchronicities. You're like, I was just thinking about that. And then living in the present moment, boom, you're open to receive the guidance, the answer, the next step. And so I wholeheartedly agree. Like, living in the present moment is such a huge gift for accessing intuition, inspired ideas, guidance, all of that. Yes.
And also joy, because joy lives in the present moment.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Now, okay, so another question I have here is, why is the old paradigm of achievement no longer valid? And I think we've already talked a little bit around that, but what else do you have to say about that?
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about this conditioning, right? And I think part of that conditioning is also your success and fulfillment is out there somewhere. It's in the career. It's in the white picket fence. It's in the car you drive, the vacations you take. And that's kind of the, you know, the what of what we've been taught about achievement. And, you know, how many people do we know that have achieved that, you know, certain levels of success and they still feel empty inside? There's still something missing, right? That they're unfulfilled. So that's part of that strategic, which says, you know, throw a dart somewhere, pick a goal, any goal, and you can achieve it. While that is true, it could be done at the expense of your fulfillment. And so that's one piece of the strategic achievement that is, I believe, a key piece that really doesn't work. And so I think we're evolving. I know we're evolving culturally, spiritually, intellectually. Like we've had this, you know, years and years and years of like, you know, a lot of success and achievement, again, at the expense of how are we feeling, and that emptiness, the impact to health, to our relationships, to, you know, those core things that are meaningful to us. So people are like waking up and realizing that what we've been doing really doesn't cover the totality of who I am. So this brings us back to what people truly, I think, are yearning for and craving is not just checking the box and getting it done, but really living a more meaningful experience. And that's why the old paradigm isn't working.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I'm glad because, to me, success means happiness and happiness means success. And I mean, I know that sounds really vague, but it's not a pile of money. It's not, like you said, all these exterior achievements. You have to be able to be happy or else you're not successful, no matter how much money and how many things you've checked off in boxes and how many maybe awards you've won or whatever. But if you're not happy, then you're not successful. So
Right. Well, and I think one thing that just popped in my head I want to bring up, I think a lot of that old, related to that old paradigm of achievement, that strategic achievement, was proving yourself. Right? Like, I'm going to prove I can do it. I'm going to prove, which is basically you're saying, I'm going to prove my worthiness. And so, you know, you hit a mountain, you hit an achievement, and then that's not good enough. And then you keep climbing and climbing. So this, it's such a skewed to have where when you pull back to radiant achievement, one of the cornerstones is truly owning your worth. And you don't have to prove anything. Really coming to terms with, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. It's, you know, what we said, it's who you uniquely are, and really truly honoring that instead of what everybody else is saying out there.
Yeah, what you said would all of a sudden had me with this visual of Stephen Covey talking about in his book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People years and years ago. He talked about what if you have the ladder going up the wrong mountain or whatever.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you need to know what it is you actually want to achieve, or otherwise you're going to spend all that time achieving something and then go, well, that's not it, or that didn't do it for me.
Yep, I did a lot of his classes back in the day. Exactly. And truly, there are a lot of people that are experiencing that. And I you know, I had that to a degree, and definitely not like some people, but I totally mm-hmm. felt that disconnect. Like there was something more there that I wasn't addressing. And mm-hmm. Yes.
So now, this seems a little clear to me already, but I'd like you to explain it. How can Radiant Achievement help women live less stressful lives?
Yes, yeah. And it just, yeah, well, I'll dive in a little deeper to a couple of things. We touched on a couple of them, but, you know, Radiant Achievement is really helping each person fully engage fully all of themselves. And we've talked about this, you know, how many people live in their head. So mm-hmm. Radiant Achievement helps women connect with that their inner higher self, connect with their authenticity, that body, mind, and spirit person, like that whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we shift from that external focus, you know, on other people, on input from other people, and we pull it back in, what we're doing is we're taking our power back, right, and fully owning that we are the stewards of our lives, mm-hmm. and which so many people don't realize that they've given that away, and I so know that story, giving it away to other people. So when we take it back and we connect with our worth, we start to listen to our intuition and really use our inner GPS. There is
I love that. Yeah,
beautiful.
I like to talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Inner GPS.
Yeah. And so what begins to happen is we have a sense of like trust and peace and joy that happens because we're not in that frenzy of searching for answers. We're in this place of like become that rock. We're standing still and we're opening up to, you know, the sun shining down on us versus running around room to room trying to find the, you know, the light. And I saw this first and for myself, you know, getting back to that place of listening, really reconnecting with all of our gifts that we come into this world with that we've covered up from our conditioning. So we, you know, peel that back and, man, it just helps us deflate the balloon and just really live in a place of joy and trust and like you said, the divine timing, like really not trying to force things, but being mm-hmm. in that place where you can flow to things that are important to you, that are calling to you, that you mm-hmm. desire to achieve.
Yeah, and just even moving in the direction of a worthy goal or ideal, Earl Nightingale used to say that was success as well. I mean, it makes you feel good because you know you're moving toward it, and maybe it's not going really fast, but just knowing that you're moving in that direction really can help.
Right.
Right.
It's a sweet feeling to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I remember reading a little bit in your book about you have children. Do you have two or how many do you have?
I do. Two. Yep.
And,
Two. They're adults now.
Yeah, mine's an adult too. He's 31 now. But it's so funny because I look back on it and I swear it's like I can remember him being a baby and a toddler and all these little guys. It's like those Russian dolls, you know, where they're... He's the outside one, but they're all the other ones are in there. But, you know, it's so easy as a mom. That was my point I was getting at, though. It's so easy as a mom not to put yourself on your own list. And thankfully, I learned to do that. I had to put myself on my own list from reading Cheryl Richardson's first book, Take Time for Your Life, way back in 1999 when he was nine. And, you know, but it's a challenge sometimes to keep yourself on the list and to keep yourself at the top of the list and to remember that, like on airplanes, that we need to put on our oxygen mask first and then help other people instead of just keep doing, giving, and then not have anything left of ourselves and not even know who you are
right.
anymore. I mean, I remember
right.
wondering in my mid-30s, who am I? What really does matter to me instead of just everybody else that's been telling me what matters, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, and one of my key things, lessons that I learned and conditioning that I walked into motherhood with was it's an either or. It was, I felt, and, you know, there was no obvious reason for this. I'm sure it was me observing my mom, who was very caring and selfless, and she was different than who I was, right? And so not that I shouldn't be caring and, you know, and have some selflessness in there, but I felt that either I pursued my, you know, wholeheartedly pursued my goals and dreams, or I was a mom and a wife. I had very much an either or mindset that I, when I became an entrepreneur working at home and was out of the corporate, you know, salary range, it became this mindset of, well, I have to kind of, you know, it's them now because I'm home then versus where I want to go with my business. And that totally had me putting their masks on first and foremost very often,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
I know was part of, you know, ultimately my health crisis. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yep. So we know that it's important. You know, we only have 9 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the time flies by.
Good
it
stuff.
Really does. I mean, I have so many more things I'd like to hear about. And so another question is, why is shifting to the new paradigm of radiant achievement difficult if this is innate to all women? And I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Sure. And we touched on it a little bit. It, you know, goes back to the conditioning, right? And whether we're conditioned by our culture, our family, our school, like who we become is really deeply ingrained with a lot of things we might not even be aware of. And so while I believe this is innate, and I saw it first and foremost, you know, when I was a little girl, I was conditioned through all the things I just mentioned. And so it was about, you know, I had to relearn. I had to let go of some of those old beliefs. I had to become aware that I actually, that wasn't who I was at my essence, that how I was showing up was truly conditioned beliefs. And so part of that, why it's a little difficult or why it can be uncomfortable to start shifting this, is that we're bumping up against old conditioned beliefs and stories that we've been taught for years and years that we may not even be aware of. And so it takes time. It takes us being open to, you know, learning, to unlearning, to relearning these concepts. But that's, you know, a lot of what that uncomfortableness and that bumping up resistance is coming from, the conditioning.
I think that, you know, that brings us to the fact that one of the things that can really help is to have a coach, someone that you trust, that you can talk to, and that can ask you questions and dig deeper into where did those beliefs come from. Are those beliefs helping you, or are they holding you back? Are they helping you live a joyful life, or are they, you know, keeping
exactly.
you from living who you're supposed to be while you're here on this planet? So I think that's, to me,
exactly.
one of the really powerful yeah. things about coaches is that they listen and they can ask questions and have you start looking at beliefs and going, is that an empowering belief or is that a disempowering belief? You know?
Right. That's cornerstone. And I know you do that. I do that
mm-hmm.
you know, with clients. If I had a nickel for every time I asked a question and somebody's eyes just lit up or they're like, oh my gosh, I just realized blah, blah, blah. Right. And they can finally
mm-hmm.
step back from it and see it from a new perspective. Having that awareness, you know, is a huge, is necessary, and that's the starting point to being able to shift things for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does learning to access these powers move women toward fulfilling lives? I think that it seems kind of clear, like it's getting clearer, but you want to tell us a little
yes.
bit about that?
Yeah. So you know, I think, yeah, we've done a great job really talking about all of the behind the scenes of what Radiance Achievement, you know, is about and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it is truly just really getting connected to your talents and your passions and your callings, and seeing these as, I love this analogy, the seeds of your radiance and your fulfillment. So yes, because we're all plants, we're all flowers, right? And it's like whether we're an oak tree or a rose bush or a lily, you know, I love
or an
that
orchid
analogy.
Or,
and,
yeah.
Or an orchid. There's going to be weeds. It's going to be, we need to nurture that. And so to really come back to, like, who are we uniquely designed to be, to express, to you know, do in this world, that is radiance achievement, really, by using the inner powers that I teach, helps you to connect with that, to honor it, and to put it into action, really bring it to life. And that journey of bringing it to life, and you, I love how you mentioned it a little bit earlier, is it is such a sweet journey. Even if you're not done, you haven't achieved the goal yet. But, and I will say there were so many moments of writing my book that I had these little micro celebrations, because I'm like, I'm doing it. I am bringing this calling, this idea, this, you know, that I've had for years to life. And it just, to revel in that, you know, bringing it to life, it just felt so good. So that's all fulfillment along that whole journey, whether or not the book becomes a bestseller or not, you know, is doesn't even matter. But, yeah, the powers really help you to just put that stake in the ground for yourself, taking a stand for your highest fulfillment, for you creating that vision of your life that you desire. And it has to start from the inside out for it to really be able to express its fullest potential.
Oh, that's so true. We've only got 3 minutes left, and people can get more information about all this on your website at ChristineMarieHoward.com.
Yes.
And they also can get the book on Amazon or probably other bookstores, but for sure on Amazon. I know that's – I've seen it there. And what is something –
Definitely
like
Amazon.
What's something you'd like to leave our listeners with in the last 2 minutes that we have left?
Yeah, you know, regardless of where you are in your life right now, regardless of what's working, what's not working, you know, if you desire to, you know, pause, I guess, I encourage you to take a pause and check in. Like, is there something I'm ignoring that I desire to bring to life? Is there something that doesn't feel right? Am I giving my power away? And, you know, reclaim that you are the driver of the ship of your life, own fully your uniqueness, begin to love yourself and to say yes to those stirrings, whether they're small or big. And the universe is going to continue to give them to you in louder ways if you're not listening. So pull back to you, love, honor, and listen, and take that next step to your own radiant achievement.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, because the idea of achievement when it's combined with radiant, I love it. And I think that that's the biggest thing that you're going to have to realize is that people who are creative and also are at least somewhat in touch with their spirit are going to love the idea of radiant mixed with achievement, because I've never been able to get people to go, be logical, Margo. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Not going to be just logical. Logical is not fun. Okay, well, anyway, I highly recommend people get the book and check out your website. And I'm so thankful that I had you on today so that we can talk about all the ways that you're living your music and inspiring other people out there to live their music as well. And I just would like to say to all of our listeners, please share this show with your family and your friends. And whatever it is you feel in your heart you're supposed to do in this lifetime, live your music. Do it now. And do it in all the ways that you can. Thank you again, Christine, for being on my show today.
Thank you,
thank you, thank you.
So much fun, as always.
Oh, yes, Yes.
You are welcome.
We always have fun. Thanks. Bye for now, Christine. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, live your music.
Bye-bye.